Yud Beis and Beis, we're going to begin once again at the Mishnah, on the bottom of the Amud, page 24, Yud Beis and Beis. Last time we learned, before Pesach, believe it, that's been already before Pesach, our homework assignment was to review this Mishnah. So let's see if you did it. Maskirin Yisiyas Mitzrayim B'leilois. So it mentions here that a person has an obligation to acknowledge and to recite the Yisiyas Mitzrayim at night. And the reason, as we mentioned last time, the Beis Yosef brings down that instead of the words of say Yisiyas Mitzrayim, recite, Gemara instead uses, the Mishnah uses the language of maskirin. Oh, you look fancy. Maskirin Yisiyas Mitzrayim Leilos. And the reason why we use the word maskirin is because of that's the word that's used in the Kriya Shema itself. L'man tizkor is in the Shema, and therefore, appropriately, maskirin Yisiyas Mitzrayim Balelos is how the Mishnah in Yud Beis and Beis begins. Amar Rab Elazar ben Azariah. Rab Elazar ben Azariah, who was just a teenager, couldn't even gamble or...
Couldn't
even grow up the edge. Well, exactly. So he said, I am like a man of 70 years. Even though the Gemara in the fourth parak will say that he was really 18 at the time when he was offered the position to be the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel, who was removed from the position of Elazar ben Azariah, had all the qualifications, except the one thing his wife said is, your beard is not gray. You're only a kid. You're a teenager. And, of course, as the Gemara says, he miraculously that evening grew 18 rows of gray in his beard. And maybe he dyed his beard. Who knows?
But it says it's a miracle. Because of the amount of Torah he learned, he was like an old man with the amount of Torah that he learned. That's what turned his beard gray.
Right. So some actually, we also mentioned, according to that similar idea, that Shmuel, who was 52 years old, and he's 18 years old, is comparable to someone who's Shivim Shana,
right,
which means that he had...
Fine between Shmuel and his 18 and 70.
Right. That was his level of wisdom that he had. He had the wisdom of Shmuel and an 18-year-old combined, and that's Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's how great he was in knowledge. And although on the surface it sounds like he's acting a little bit haughty over here, Harini Kiben Shivim Shana, Velo Zachisi, Shetomer Yisiyas Mitzrayim B'leilos. He says, I did not merit to understand any source in the Torah that a person should say and recite Yisiyas Mitzrayim at night, which of course we do, by Marav at the end of Kriyat Shema. Ad Shadarsh Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma came along and explained it to me. And some people explain what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is showing, the importance of learning. That even the most knowledgeable and learned person has to realize that sometimes they may not have all the answers. And he said, as knowledgeable as people think I am, I don't even know the most simplistic halachic questions. If someone asks me, how do we know that you have to say the Shema at night? I don't know. Ben Zoma came along and answered it. Shnamar, as the Pasuk says, L'man tizkores yom seischa, meretz Mitzrayim kol yomei chayach. That's the Pasuk, right? In order you should remember the days of us going out of Egypt, all the days of your life. What does it mean, kol yomim, all the days, kol yomei chayach, all the days of your life, what's come to teach us? So, according to Ben Zoma, these extra words in the Pasuk must be coming to teach us an extra drasha. Because it could have just said chayach, the days of your life, and that would have meant hayomim, the days, right? And chayach is a yomim. Kol yomei chayach, adding these extra words, all the days of your life, is halelos. Also the night. Because even without the word kol, you would of course still understood. It says yimei chayecha, the days of your life. It means that the day. Kol yimei means all the time, even during the evening hours. The Chachamim disagreed with this explanation of Ben Zoma, had a different interpretation of these extra words in the pasuk. Yimei chayecha, it's olam hazeh. Nowadays, the way it is right now, we have the obligation of saying the Shema. Kol, the fact that the Torah says Kol Yimei Chayecha, is Lahavi Limos HaMashiach, is to bring and include the days of Mashiach. And the Beis Yosef asks a couple of questions. He says that when it comes to the opinion of Ben Zoma, he says Kol, and he just says, Kol is Kol Yimechayach is Halelos. Why does that have to say Kol Lahavi Limosa Mashiach? Why does that have to say that way? Which brings forth like, this extra word. To say Kol is L'Rabos Limosa Mashiach. L'Havi Limosa Mashiach. So the Beis Yosef is going to explains that the reason for this is that we're going to see in the Gemara that the way that we say the Shema now is not the same as we will in the days of Mashiach, which means we have an obligation to say the Shema now, and we'll have an obligation to say the Shema then, according to the Chachamim, even the Yemos of Mashiach, but it won't be as significant because we're going to be discussing and praising Hashem for the future Geula, which at that time will be our past, most recent redemption, which will overshadow Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll still mention, but it's not going to be to the same extent that we mention it.
This whole thing doesn't make sense. It's odd for me, I'm not a nobody, but a guy, these Rabbanim were brilliant guys, and we say Shema, and it says Shema, Shal Seis Yisham Eretz Yisrael, and Yisrael Chem Olim. We say it every morning, we say Shal Kov Kumech, we say Shema in the morning, and Shema at night. So how can you say Shalo Zachisi Leomar, you know, Shema, you say it every, these are the greatest Rabbanim. They know better than me when you say Shema. We say in the morning and at night, and it says in Kriya Shema, Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So how can they say that I never said it the night times?
I think your explanation was that he didn't have the understanding of why he didn't know the source of saying it at night times.
The source is from the Torah. Wait, it's right in the Torah.
No, I think we're breaking up with two different entities here. There's Kriya Shema, and then there's Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim.
But it's in Kriya Shema.
No. The third paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay. Is not really part. I mean, we've made this into part of Kriya Shema because we need Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first two elements don't have it.
Are you saying at this time they didn't say the Kriya Shema was not as it is today?
Well, a while back, which is only the Gemara right before the Mishnah, right, it discussed the six reasons why we say the paragraph of
Tzitzis, right.
Which means that it's really, they did say all three paragraphs,
right.
But the third paragraph is not the same reason why we say the first two. First two, the Pasuk says clearly, Shach
b'chav kamecha. Those two elements, yes, but...
Yeah, but since we are, you know, things equal to the same thing, since we agreed that Tzitzis Mitzrayim, that Tzitzis is part of the, we said it in the Gemara, so obviously it was known at his time, and it was already being said with a Shema, for whatever reason, and it is Midoraisa, so, and we do say it at night, day and night, so he should have known. I mean, again, far be it from me, we should have known. There's your reason why you say, and you're supposed to say it at night, because it says it in the Torah, and we've already joined
it. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that.
It says Mitzrayim.
I shall say it says Chem Eretz Mitzrayim, the Yosel Chem Elokim. It doesn't say
it. But not day and night.
You're missing the point. We say Parshas Tzitzis day and night. We've already ascertained that in the Gemara. We've coupled it with the other two Parshas of Shema. It was already done. It was already said in the Gemara prior to this.
Why was it done?
But even if it's Zerach Yitzias Mitzrayim,
there has to be a reason why it was done. Why was it put in there?
I would say it was done because it had to be coupled with something that said day and night, but may not be the reason.
But Tzitzis is not, there's no chiyuv of Tzitzis at night.
No, but the parsha, the reading of the Shema is day and night, so they purposely coupled it with the Shema, which is day and night, so it'll be remembered day and night.
But
I have another question here, which really is disturbing. I know this is certainly well established, and obviously I'm wrong, but the point here is that when you say, Yimei Chayecha, Ayamim Kol Yimei Chayecha, Yimei Chayecha, grammatically, doesn't necessarily imply every day. You know, you may have
the days of your life.
So it could be every day. It could be during the days of your life. Moreover, why do you have to have a revoy to add on the night when right at the beginning of the Torah it says Vayi Erev Vayi Boker Yom Echad? So there,
should you have to say it twice?
But Yom is Erev and Boker. Now, we say Erev Avoka B'Amayim B'Avash Ma'omrim, we have a principle that if it's not B'Sherush, it's at least Mimosha Misinai, that we have to say it morning and evening. That's fine, so we have this. But why do you have to say that you need a reboy to say it at night besides the day, when we know that Vayi Erev Vayi Boker Yom Echad, Yom includes Erev Avoka. So if we have an obligation of Erev Avoka, why do you need the reboy of Kol?
What, do you have mitzvah tzitzis at night?
No.
Why not? It says kol. It says, it's, you can say the same thing. It's no, still Yom
Echad. At night it's dark, and it's electrolytes, you know. But the mitzvah of tzitzis is only in the day, only because it says a read them all time.
Yeah, I still don't even understand the concept of who established what Kriya Shema is all about. Of why we've chosen these three paragraphs.
Well, the first two, the Torah says, v'shachof v'machor.
Okay.
So apparently, it's in that paragraph, so probably you have to read that paragraph.
So those two entities, yes.
Right, so the question is the third
why
paragraph.
Why do we have tzitzis?
Why do we have tzitzis?
Right, so before the Mishnah, the Gemara discussed the question about maybe we should include the paragraph from Parshas about Balak, right?
Okay.
And then we said, no, Tircha Tzibur, it's too long, and okay, so on. Okay.
You know, I would go so far to say, why don't we have tzitzis at night? I would go so far to say, since it says Uritem Otam, we come to Yemot HaMashiach, or Yemei Olam Haba, I'm not sure just which, but when we get Yom She'eino Yom Ve'eino Laila, when there's light day and night, you probably would be obligated to tzitzis at night.
Some actually explained that the reason why the Chachamim liked the idea of Yemos HaMashiach more than the opinion of Ben Zoma is the pasuk says Kol Yemei Chayecha, which is the whole day. So the Chachamim look at it and say, well, it's not night. How could that come to include the night? It says Kol Yemei Chayecha. So they say it's Yemos HaMashiach, a time where there is, it's considered to be like a time of light, enlightenedness.
I think it's a lot more plausible than saying you need the Riboy for day to be part, for night to be part of the day, when we know by Yerav Yiboga Yom Achad it is defined.
So the Gemara immediately before the Mishnah said six reasons. The Gemara, but it says Chamish Devarim on the left side. It says Shish Devarim. It's really six reasons why we instituted the third paragraph. This is what the Gemara says. This is the source of where we find that it was instituted. And there's six important concepts found in the paragraph, and this is what they were. What are them? Yeah, you see, Mitzrayim certainly is one. Mitzvah Sitzes. All mitzvos, the idea of accepting upon yourself all 613 mitzvos. The other three are das minim, hiror avera, hiror avodah zara. Improper thoughts, improper ideas of thinking about sinning and being engaged in idol worship or going astray. So those are the six ideas which are found in the third paragraph of the Shema. He said this paragraph is so packed.
The Gemara said this. Why didn't he know this? Why didn't he, Ben Zoma? Why didn't
but what Ben Zoma and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is looking for a source in the Torah which... Why did the sages pick this? Okay, there's six great, interesting things, concepts in this paragraph, but where do we find a source in the Torah itself which tells us to acknowledge Yetzias Mitzrayim at least? Right. The Gemara actually later on in the third paragraph is going to ask, so maybe just say that last sentence,
that's
skip
right.
The whole thing.
Right.
And in fact, the Gemara says that some places used to do that. They used to have an abridged third paragraph just to say this is a crime. But others instituted that once you start a certain amount of words in a sentence, you have to continue the whole paragraph. So therefore, because of that, they said the whole paragraph.
That's what the Gemara is going to say later. There, it says, now certainly it was being said day and night in his time also. So
right.
So maybe Lo Zachiti. So you could say Lo Zachiti Hezber Shatei Amir,
right.
Lo Zachiti Siba Shatei Amir, but just Lo Zachiti Shatei Amir to say I didn't get I wasn't Zoka to see it said, but it was said. You know, but it wasn't. But it may not have been Zoka to see the Hezber, to see the reason.
Yeah, the way that the way that it's generally translated that sentence is that. We do it. Of course I do it. It happens every day, every night.
I just don't
know. Why? Where's the source?
Storage.
Exactly. We have to find where. It has to be some basis to it. Otherwise, it's strange that we are obligated to do something. If we didn't have
to.
Otherwise,
it's just the word there, not to say lo zachiti shetayame, you'd say lo hevanti shetayame,
right.
Or something like that.
True.
There's a peculiarity in that lashon. Something that's such a famous quote, there's got to be a reason why that peculiarity is there. I don't know what it is, but there's
right.
Got to be a reason.
Yeah. But again, certainly the third paragraph does not hold the same weight as the first two.
Yeah, but, all right, so then how does Ben...
Ben Zoma.
Yeah.
Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, they both see that the words Kolimei Chayecha, the extra word kol, is extra. Because apparently Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, that means, apparently that means every day that you're alive, right? So what do I mean, all the days? Why do I have to add the word kol? So that's an extra word, comes to teach us something above and beyond the days of your life. Kol means every part of those days, which includes the night, or kol means even in the future, future days. Not just now, but even in the future. That's the question of how to interpret the word kol in Kol Mechiacha.
The other question would be why it says La'aviv li'mot ha-Mashiach, rather than to say La'aviv li'me olam haba. There's a difference. Li'mot ha-Mashiach is a transitional period, and it's a limited period.
Well, you have to get there first.
Yeah, but why to say La'aviv li'me li'mot ha-Mashiach, and not say
That's something that's the Mashiach comes, you may still be tested until you get on the Mashiach. That's true. So that may be part of it. Right. We have to study also what does it mean, Limos Mashiach, what is Olam Haba. So that's what Chelek talks about.
Which we'll, in the Sanhedrin, which we'll be doing this, the Shabbos. That's the Shabbos.
We're going to be talking all about Gehenim and Gan Eden and Olam Haba and Mos Mashiach, Tchias Amesim. That's what the entire parak that really discusses it.
I read the Rambam on it.
Yeah.
There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. What exactly is Mashiach? What is Olam Haba?
So we hold like.
We'll find out. I guess hopefully we'll find out soon. Okay, let's see a couple of these Rashis. Maybe that might help us. Maybe make things more confusing. I don't know. Let's see. So let's see the Rashis on the left bottom side. Maskirin Yisias Mitzrayim Belelos. To mention the leaving Mitzrayim at night. Parsha Sitzes B'Kriyas Shema. It doesn't mean the first two paragraphs. That it's clear the Torah tells us. But the last paragraph, the Avon Pi. Even though she'ein laila zman sitzes, even though we don't have to wear sitzes at night, the pasuk says clearly, "Risemoso," seeing them, which excludes wearing sitzes at night. Uzachartem, and you remember the mitzvos by looking at the tzitzes. Omrimoso b'laila, we still say it at night. Mipnei yisias mitzrayim shiba, because of that one sentence. So we say the whole paragraph because of one sentence. Okay, but it's a short paragraph. It was a very long paragraph. Like in Parshas Balak, we probably would not say it either because of Tircha d'Tzibur. A short paragraph in comparison, certainly to paragraph number two, maybe in comparison to paragraph number one, it's similar, but pretty small. Kiben Shimim Shana, Rashi says, Kvar Hayisi Nirizokin. I already had the appearance of being an elderly individual. Lo Zokin Mamash, but I wasn't really old. Shivasa Love. Shiava Yom, because when that day came to me, Shaviro Rabbi Gamliel Minasiyasai, that Rabbi Gamliel who embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua for one time too many and three different times, so the third time he was removed from his position. Amina Rabbi Elizabeth Nazaria Nasin, this young 18-year-old kid was appointed. Kedisa Bepeh Ulkaman Bepeh Tilosa Shachar at the beginning of the fourth chapter. Osa Yom Darish Ben Zoma Mikrazet. And it was on his 18th birthday, on that day, that Ben Zoma came up with this interpretation. So, it was on that day that he understood this. Okay. Alright. Good? Let's move on. Okay. Tanya. Gemara says as follows. We learned, Armelehem Ben Zoma L'Chachamim. So Ben Zoma, who said that the drasha of the kol, Yimei Chayach, is coming to include the evenings, turned to the Chachamim and said, V'chimas kirin Yisias Mitzrayim Mimos Mashiach. I don't understand how you possibly can think the word kol is coming to include that we're going to say the we're going to acknowledge Yisias Mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach. Look for Nemar. The pasuk says Kriyin Yirmiyah. Long pasuk. It says Hine Yomim Boim. In the future days, No Hashem Hashem says Voyomer Od Chai Hashem will no longer say by the life of God that Chai Hashem Asher Helu As Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. We're no longer going to be praising Hashem by saying that He took us out of Egypt. Ki'im, rather what will we be saying? Chai Hashem Asher Hela, Hashem took us up. Asher Hevi Ezera Beis Yisrael Mir Tzifoni, took us up from the northern lands. Mikol Ratzos Asher Yedachnim Sham, and all the different places that we were oppressed and put over there. That is what we will be saying. So, how could you, the Chachamim, think that the Pasuk Kol is L'Havim Os Mashiach? In days of Mashiach, we're going to be busy praising Hashem that He took us out of our galus, our current state of exile, and He redeemed us. We're not going to mention anything about Yisrael Mitzrayim. So the Chachamim said, what are you talking about? I mean, how could you possibly think that we're not going to acknowledge and pretend that the story of Mitzrayim never happened? We're never going to mention it? No. Amalei said, Lo she'te'akri Yisrael Mitzrayim mimkoma. We're not going to uproot Yisrael Mitzrayim from its place. Elo shtei shibud malchus ikar Yisrael Mitzrayim tachal. Tafalo. In comparison, as great as the miracles that occurred to the Bnei Israel while we left Mitzrayim, it'll pale in comparison to when we, the Bnei Israel, will be redeemed from our current goals. And therefore, not that we're not going to mention Yisrael Mitzrayim in Yisrael Mashiach, but we're going to be so busy also acknowledging the great things that Hashem did for us by redeeming us from our current exile, that the Yisrael Mitzrayim will be tough.
But even in Abba Rabba, we say about the Enos Shomi, Arba Kantos Arz, Sorechena Kamirs. We don't even say in the preamble to Shema, we're talking about being brought from the four corners of the earth. Not, which is really, why don't we say Yisrael Mitzrayim there? We talk about the Enos Shomi, Arba Kantos Arz.
You're right. I mean, in our Shemon Esrei also, I mean, we don't acknowledge the past, but we ask for the future.
The future, right.
Goal Yisrael, as opposed to Goel, there's Goel.
He will redeem us.
But Goel, the first time we say, when we say Goel Yisrael, it's we're acknowledging that Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim.
Right.
In the Shemona Esrei, we're asking Hashem to redeem us for the future. So, but yeah, it's even now, because that's Hashem gave it to us. Why do I need to ask?
We already have it. Yes.
Well, I think there's something you could say about that, and I have nothing in the smoke on to this. But if you're saying it before the Shema, you're looking forward to the future. If you're looking forward to the future, you're looking forward to what's going to be the primal event in the future. What's going to be the main attraction in the future you're talking about. Right. When we're talking about the past, we have to talk about something that already happened. We can't say that it's going to happen. So that I think that there, right before the Shema, we're talking about something in the future. There you can go ahead and pick the thing that's going to be primal in the future. But when you're talking about the past, you have to think about the thing that's primal of what's happened in history.
Could be. So this is the answer the Chachamim give. The Chachamim don't stop. At this point, they constantly are now going to be comparing sometimes in which we have an ikar, and sometimes we have a tafel. Some main things and secondary things. For example, the Gemara says, Kiyotzeba, similar to this, Omer, I can tell you, the pasuk which says in Sefer Bereishis, Lo'yikar Shimcha Od Yaakov, no longer is your name to be called Yaakov, Ki'im Yisrael Yishmech. Yisrael is your name. That's what Yaakov Avin was told after having wrestled the Sarshal Esav. Your name is no longer Yaakov, Ki'im Yisrael Yishmech. Now, we know that, what do we call him? We call him Yisrael, but we also
B'nai Yisrael,
but we also call him Yaakov many times. So the Gemara tells us that's the point on top of the Amud. Lo she'akri Yaakov mimkoma. We don't uproot the name Yaakov from its place, like we never say Yaakov anymore. But when the Pasuk says that lo yikar shimcha od Yaakov, it means El Yisrael Ikar B'Yakov Tafelo. That yet Yisrael is now going to be your main name, and Yaakov you'll still be called on occasion, but it's going to be your second name.
But as opposed to Avram, we don't call him Avram anymore. Yeah. We call him Avraham.
Yeah, the Gemara's going to talk about that.
I know that.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get to that. And why do we? What's the difference? Why?
And we never call him Avram anymore.
Right.
It's always Avraham. Right. We say it in the Tefillah.
And if we're talking about ultimate name, why not Yeshurun?
That the Torah says what we're supposed to call him. It says Ki'im Yisrael Yeshinacha. So that's
even after that, it's the plan to be
Yeshurun. Right?
Well, I mean, it's that the name of Bnei Israel goes from Beit Yaakov,
right.
Still used, but it then becomes Bnei Israel.
Right.
Eventually, it becomes Bnei Yisroel.
Okay.
I mean, that's supposed to be the Latif Lavot. That should be the ultimate name.
At this point, this is the name that he's supposed to be called. So
right,
hey, okay, but what they're trying to do is compare it to Yetzias Mitzrayim in the futuristic time, which we'll also be calling. We'll still be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it'll be secondary. V'cheinu Omer. So it says, Al Tizkri Shonos V'Kadmonios. Do not remember, acknowledge the first things that happened. The kadmonios of his bone, the earlier things do not consider. So what does this mean? Altis Gorishonos Zesh Shibud Malchus. This refers to the Shibud Malchus, the king, our kings that oppressed us. The kadmonios of his bone is a Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not going to be really discussing it anymore. This referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Fine. Because now a new thing will happen that will sprout forth. And Tani Rav Yosef Zumel Chamos Gogumagum. This is referring to the futuristic war against the Bnei Israel, which we read about Haftar and Sukkot among other times. The Muhammad, the war Gogumagum. And Gemara continues. It's Mashal Mata Vadum. What is this a parable comparable to? Well, Adam Shai Mahalach Baderach. You have a guy that's traveling on the road. Upogubo Zeb and a wolf encounters him, an animal that's rabid, ready to kill him. Beniflumin, miraculously he's saved from this very wild wolf. So what is a person going to do all day? Go to the local bar. Talk about how you were saved. It was amazing. Pogubo Ari, with your mazel, what happens when you walk out of the bar? A lion starts going after you. Beniflumin, you're saved from it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to even think about the wolf?
No, you got to think about the closest
things. You're going to start thinking about the lion. That's what you're going to be talking about. How are you safe from a lion? And then, Pogubo Nachash. And then, you thought you had a bad day, then a snake comes. But Nitzalim and you're safe from the snake. Shachach Masih Shnehim. You'll forget about both of them. You're going to be so busy only talking about the snake. Af kach Yisrael, so too when it comes to the Jewish people, soros achronos mishkachos, es harishonos. The last problems that a person has will cause the first ones to be forgotten. Which is
true, because we talk about the Holocaust, nobody talks about the pogroms in Europe, or the Crusades, or the Muranos, any of those times, you never even hear about it, you know.
Well, I guess, and not as much, right?
Not as much, right.
Right. So that's the idea as well, that because we'll have experienced this more recent geula, it's going to be fresh in our minds, and therefore we're going to want to praise and thank Hashem. That'll be the ikar, and everything else, even the Yetzias Mitzrayim, will be secondary. Fine. And we compare that to Yaakov, because Yaakov, what do we call him? We call him Yaakov once in a while, but Yisrael is really his main name. So it's brought down, Kasha, that when it comes to the Shemona Esrei, what do we call him?
Yaakov.
Right. So it's actually Kasha brought down by the Semach Tzedek, the Hasidic Lubavitch Rebbe's, said, well, why do we do that? We should say Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says, right? That's the Iker. So he says, you have to study the significance of this. Every paragraph in the Shemona Esrei, for whatever reason, has a specific amount of words, right, and a specific amount of letters. So he says that if we would have, what's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael? Yisrael is five letters. Yaakov is four. So he says, Ki b'sheish tevos olu yesh chav vav osios k'mispar Hashem ben arba. He says that if you would count the names of These Shesh Tevos, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, presumably what it's saying, that equals 26 words, 26 letters.
Okay.
Right. So therefore it has that symbolism. So, but if instead you would have the word Yisrael instead of Yaakov, then you'd have 27 letters, and then you wouldn't have that that terrific gematria. Okay, or connection to 26. Fine. The Marsha explains another interesting idea over here. The Marsha discusses what exactly is this mashal? What is this parable of the wolf, the lion, the snake? What exactly is going on over here? So let's just read a couple of the lines. And this we, if you have it inside, it's good to see. But it's on page Dalit in the Marsha. Page 6, and then on the left side, on the facing page, is Dalit. It's on the left column, which is, then it begins the last paragraph. It's a very long paragraph, in a much smaller font. Dav Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, and it's 1, 2, wait, which one do I want to see? 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line. It says, Lo Nischadesh Ol, which is in the middle of the line. Okay? We're going to see that, then we're going to jump a line in a second. Lo Nischadesh Ol, there's really nothing new in the world. Kamosha Kosov, as it's written, Listen to Tanai, Shehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Imasa Gracious, Hashem already had made a condition and preconditioned in the world when He created the world, Shetibaka Hayam. That ultimately, at some point, something is going to happen that the sea will split. He had this all planned out. Abul Asid, in the future, Hini Osa Chadasha Mamish. When the Pasuk said, I'm going to do something new, it means it's really even Takhadish Baruch Hu. You see, Mitzrayim and all the miracles that were attached to it, somehow he had it already in his master plan. It was already done. But when it comes to the Yemos Mashiach, it's going to be something which is something innovative. That's a difficult thing to exactly understand, but that's what the Marsha says. If you jump down, skipping the rest of that line, the following line, and it, on the first word, it says, of the line is Upaga Bozeb. Upaga Bozeb, you encountered a wolf, Upaga Bo Ari, a lion, Upaga Nachash, a snake. So it says, Madam Mitzrayim Lozeb. Interesting, he says, that if you, why these particular animals? So he says that Mitzrayim was comparable to this wolf. Bavel is comparable, La'ari, to a lion. And then you just jump one line down, and the last words on the line is Masezev. Why is he compared? Why would a person forget the actions of the wolf, which means you'll forget about Mitzrayim? Mishlom, Mishum Dulo Hayazman Rav Kokach, Bein Zeh Lazeh. Because it's not a tremendous amount of time between one the encounter of the wolf and the encounter of the lion, or the encounter of Mitzrayim and the encounter of Bavel, Golos Bavel, which of course was many hundreds of years.
What about Amalek? We say Zecher Amalek all the time.
Right, but. In this particular example, we're looking at major catastrophes of countries that either enslaved us or exiled us or destroyed us.
Amalek is something that we talk about. We're not supposed to forget it. We'd make a whole big thing.
True.
But we were not imprisoned by them. We weren't enslaved by them. They were just evil people who wanted to attack us and kill us. It wasn't a period of time. It's forever.
And perhaps that's the exact reason why we need a mitzvah to remember, because otherwise it's in our nature to perhaps forget even those evil
people. But that quote, we have Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we say Yitzias Mitzrayim, though, for that matter, which we say every day.
But even so, the Gemara is saying that in Yemos HaMashiach, it may be easier to forget such things, because you'll remember the more recent miracles that happened to you and forget.
Well, we've had other Amalek, you've had Homan, you've had all these things that we say.
Right. Well, that could be part of when it says Bavel. It can include during that era, during Golos Bavel, when Haman ruled. So during that time, it's a short period of time, it's hundreds of years, but it wasn't significant. The Marsha says that when it comes to the later times, Nishkach Masa Shneim, you'll forget about Babel, you forget about Mitzrayim. Behindu, the Tsaros HaGolos Achron, the very last exile that we're currently in. Nishtachut Tsaros, you're going to forget about all the problems. Meshiba Malchios Rishonos, from the previous kings that reigned over us and caused problems. Adli, Asidli, Mosa Mashiach, and Hirav Yameinu, until the coming of the Mashiach should come speedily one day.
That's why was, a lot of people consider the Holocaust as the coming of Mashiach, because they couldn't fathom that entity.
Because it was such a...
Well, compared to Mitzrayim and Babel, I mean, basically he's negating the... he's making lighter of the enslavement in that period of time. So there's going to be an ultimate, even worse kind of scenario. When the Holocaust finally came, I think Buddha said, "This can't, nothing can be worse than this."
Right.
But Mashiach is on his way.
Right.
Mashiach side.
Right.
We're still waiting, but that's...
Well, you know, the analogy that's used, and I forgot who said it now, I'm sure you remember, but it used to say that if a child is traveling with you and you're coming to a city, and the child says, "Well, you know, are we there yet?" The child does when they're traveling, and they say, "When? How will I know when we're getting to the city?" And the answer was that outside the city, there's always a graveyard. When we pass a tremendous graveyard, we know we're coming to the big city. You know, and this is the analogy that's
right.
used for the Holocaust, for the coming to the Gula.
Right. We're still on the road.
I forgot what analogy that was.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too. Very good. Okay. Let's move on to the next piece of Gemara. Okay? So, Yaakov Yisrael. Yeah, you can call him Yaakov, it's not a problem. In fact, Yaakov Avinu is not a problem. How about Avraham Avinu? So the Gemara continues like this. Avram. Who Avraham? Okay, that's pretty obvious that Avram is probably the same person as Avraham. What does this mean? Bechila Nasav La'Aram. Because he was called Avram initially because he was the leader of his community in Aram. Okay, that's pretty good. B'l'basov, why did he become Avraham? It means Nasa'av l'chol olam. He was a father and a leader for the entire world. Or as Rashi quotes, Av Hamon Goyim.
Okay.
Fine, that's what Rashi says. So, Avram, his name was changed to Avraham. Sarai, also in it, kolam kula. Sarai, he Sarah. When the Torah tells us, the Pasuk tells us in Dibur HaYamim, Sarai, same person as Sarah, Abram's wife. Bechila nasa Sarai lo mata. Initially, she was the princess and leader for her little nation. And Rashi says, Sarai is lush and yachid, like in a singular fashion. Only a small amount of people. Lusol nasa Sarah l'chol olam kulo. Afterwards, she became a leader and a princess for the entire world. So that's the reason why they changed names, because they became role models for the entire world, where at first they were just small potatoes.
And Yaakov and Israel, I don't understand that explanation to resolve the problem of why Yaakov persisted after he was changed to Israel.
We don't know, not yet. It's going to carry until the end of the parak.
Okay.
But that's, right, we just wanted to bring that down, and that's kind of almost like an intro.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, with that said, Tani Bar Kapara, Kol Karel Avraham, Avram, anyone who ever calls Avraham by the name of Avram, over Basay. They're apparently out of the Taryag Mitzvos, which again, we'll discuss this in greater length. There's some Mitzvos Asay, some Mitzvos Los Asay. So apparently one of the Mitzvos Asay, somewhere in Taryag Mitzvos, is do not call Avraham Avram. It says, not a person who calls Avraham by the name Avram is over Basay. Obviously, that doesn't mean if you're a Baal Kor and you're reading those Pesukim, you have to read Avraham, you'll be corrected and say, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to be over in Isser. No. Shnemar, why does the Pesuk says, Vayishim Kol Avraham? Your name is Avraham, and that's how he should be called. And the Lazar says even further. Not only among the Taryag Mitzvahs is there a mitzvah that's saying not to call Avraham Avraham, but even Alav, right? He says, Vayivr Balav. There's a Losa say as well, Shnemar, the Pasuk says, Voykora, Od Eshimcha Avram. You can no longer call him Avram. So if you call Avraham, you did two things wrong. You violated two of the Targum Mitzvahs.
Say and Alosis.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just as a sidebar, which we'll get back to, is you can go through all the different opinions of how to count the 613 mitzvahs. No one includes this as a mitzvah sase, and no one counts this as a mitzvah lo sase. And that's a question which we'll get back to in a second. How could we be saying this if it's apparently not the case? Okay. We have quite a few answers to address that question. But regardless, let's go back to the point at hand. You're telling me it's such a terrible thing that when someone's name is changed, if you call him by his original name, then you're going to be never not say, Alosa say, slow down. Omiyata, Karu, Lasara, Sarai, Hachinami. So if I change, if instead of calling Sarah, we call her Sarai, so I'm also done a terrible thing? Says no. Hasam, over there, Kuchabrihu, Amr Avraham. Over there, Hashem told Avraham, Sarai Ishtacha, Lo Tikoris, Esh Shema Sarai, Kisar Shema. Hashem told that to Avraham himself, and only Avraham apparently was given that commandment, which means if Avraham would call his wife Sarai, then maybe he would get in trouble, right? Maybe he had violated something. But Hashem didn't tell us that Sivoy, it was only Avraham. So therefore, Avraham can't call his wife Sarai. But if we would do so, we'd have to go over that same Moses' name. When it comes to Avraham's name being changed, the Torah says just a blanket statement that he cannot be called this. And therefore, because it was said in this fashion, we cannot call Avraham Avraham. So what's that? Tomiata, call Yaakov. Yaakov, that's interesting. Hakarl Yaakov, Yaakov, someone who calls Yaakov, Yaakov. Hachinam, so you're saying he's also did something terrible? He also violated some type of something in the Torah? No. Shadinos, given of the why. Dehadar Ahadrikra, because the Pasuk goes back and talks about this man by the name Yisrael, and after his name was already changed to Yisrael, Hashem still chooses to call him Yaakov. Dechsev, Yom Elohim li Yisrael. Okay, Hashem said to Yisrael, Maras Lilam, a vision at night, by Yomer, and he said, Yaakov, Yaakov. That was what was said to him. We don't need to know what was said. We don't need to really know what the Pesukim we're talking about
just
there.
Just called him Yaakov.
Exactly. The fact that Hashem called him Yaakov, even though his name was changed to Israel, shows that Hashem is not going to violate a mitzvah, probably also, right? So the fact that Hashem called him Yaakov, it's pretty clear that we also can do the same. But when it came to Avraham, do we find any place where Hashem ever called him Avram after his name was Avraham? Maybe. Masa Rav Yossi Bar Avin, Vitam Rav Yossi Bar Zvida. Ata you, Hu Hoelu Hashem Elohim, Asher Bacharta Bavram. Right? Pretty famous pasuk that we say all the time. Right. And that's taken, if you see on the right side, the Torah Or. It's taken from Sefer Nehemiah. Sefer Nehemiah is written a little bit after Sefer Bereishis, right?
A little bit.
So, in the end, his name is called Avram. So Gemara says beautifully like this. Amalei Hasam Navi, this is what the Navi was saying over there. Hudaka Masadu Shivche Derachmana Madi Havami Kara. This Navi was acknowledging and praising Hashem about this guy, about what he used to be, right? He was recounting of what it was before. Okay, so the kasha again, which we have to deal with, is when. So the Gemara answers, when it comes to Yaakov, we can call him Yaakov, we can call him Yisrael. It's not a big deal. When it comes to Avraham,
you
have to call him Avraham. Yeah, otherwise, you're in big trouble. You're going to be over Nase. You're going to be over Elosase. Not worth it. You know, if you're going to be over not saying Losa,
right.
Say, think of better things to do. Right? So the kasha that the Mephoshim ask is, what are you talking about? Where on earth do we find such a thing? We don't find that his Asay and Losa say we're calling him Avram. So there's a few answers. One answer is that the whole opinion that this is true about calling him Avram as opposed to Avraham, calling him Yaakov or Yisrael, is all going back to the opinion of the Chachamim. Because remember, the Mishnah talked about a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon said, how come you're saying, why would you acknowledge Yetzias Mitzrayim and Yemos HaMashiach? Doesn't make any sense. So the Chachamim said, I'll tell you why. Because in days of Mashiach, that miracle will be the Ikar. This, Yetzias Mitzrayim, will be the Tafel. So who was the one that was introducing the Ikar and the Tafel? Only the Chachamim. So the Chachamim, or the opinion of breaking down this whole difference between Yaakov and Yisrael, Avram and Abraham. But Rav Tarfon, who never addresses the Ikar and the Tafel at all, this whole statement is only according to the Chachamim. And maybe we hold like Rav Tarfon. Therefore, the fact that a person calls Avraham, Avram, you didn't violate anything, because that's only according to one opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim. That's one explanation. Another idea that's brought down by the Prima Gadim and others says that these psukim, which is found in Sefer Bereishis, was obviously before Matan Torah. Matan Torah is somewhere in Sefer Shmos, right? So he says.
But the same thing happened with both Yaakov and Avram was prior to Matan Torah.
What he explains is the commandment to Avraham and Avram is something which was directed toward him, was not directed to the Bnei Israel as a nation upon accepting the Torah, and therefore it's not something which is necessarily applicable to us. That what? Well, Yaakov and Yisrael doesn't make a difference.
Yeah,
right. That you certainly can do. But a lot of people, and they say that all these psukim is really what's called the smachta, which means it's not a Torah-bound obligation, but we use the psukim to support our thought processes. So it really is not an assay, it's not a los assay, because the Torah cannot give such a punishment, and it was not applicable to the Bnei Israel upon receiving the Torah. Another explanation which is brought down by the Marsha actually spoke about that. Another answer is that really it is an assay and it is a los assay. But the only time a person would be punished is only it was befanam. Only in front of Avraham, if you call him Avram, then you violated the Isser. The lol achamisa. After he died, so for us, we're in the clear. Right, so Avraham, to call him Avram, you can't do that. But that was only when he was alive. Afterwards, nowadays, it's not a problem. I conclude with one other thought. It says, it's brought down a very interesting shot by Avraham Noach Klein. He says that, what does it mean that the pasuk Vayomer lo Elokim Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov, lo yikara Shimcha Od Yaakov, we're no longer going to call you Yaakov, ki im Yisrael Yishmecha. What does it mean, Od Yaakov? We're not going to call you furthermore Yaakov. So he said that when it came to Esav and the taking of the Bechor from Yitzchak, Esav said a statement about Yaakov's name. He said, I now know why he's called Yaakov. One happened at childbirth. It says, Yado Ocheses Beikem. He was holding onto his ankle. He had complete control over the powers of Esav. He was able to control. That was one reason why he's called Yaakov. But Esav said the reason why he was called Achikar Shema Yaakov, Yaakvein Ezeb Hamayim, because he tricked me. He fooled me. So the reason why it's called Yaakov is two reasons. One, because he has control over Esav, and also because Esav felt that he was deceived by him. Right? That really I am powerful, more powerful than Yaakov. I am better than he is, and he tricked me. And I really should be better than him. That's the other idea of why he's called Yaakov. So some explain that this is what the pasuk says. Now when it says, V'yom Elokim Shimcha Yaakov, your name is still Yaakov. Why is it still Yaakov? Because, Shatos Sarch Tamid L'Achos V'Ekev Esav. You, a Jewish person, still need to grab onto the heels of Esav and control them. However, Lo Yikra Shimcha O Yaakov. Your name is not going to be furthermore Yaakov. The second reason that Esav said, V'yakvein Ezeb Pamayim, that you tricked me two times, that is no longer going to be your name. Why? And he concludes, Because when you defeated the Sarshal Esav, you showed power and control over Esav, and therefore because of this, it's not that you tricked him and that Esav is really greater and more powerful than you are, but rather that you are more powerful than Esav, and therefore lo yikor shemcha od Yaakov, because that second reason no longer applies to you.